Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Morning, y'all.
Morning, y'all. What the hell
y'all,
is that?
We got some guests in here. We have John J. Galliano. John, say hello.
Hello.
And we have Darren Goins from the NRA. Darren.
Hello.
And we have Scott Bach from ANJRPC, an NRA board member today.
Hello.
Hello,
Stephanie.
And Sandy's here, too. Just before...
Sandy's always here.
That's right. Just before we went on air, I said, you want my definition of lucky bastard?
Yeah.
And these guys were laughing their asses off, so I'm going to kind of repeat it, but Hugh Hefner basically started the whole sexual revolution.
Absolutely. He lightened my childhood.
And then he bragged that he slept with over 1,000 women. Okay.
Lucky
bastard. And then when he was 70 years old and he was having plumbing issues, they invented Viagra. And he
Get
got
another 20 years.
21 year run on top of it.
It's amazing.
Who does that?
I don't know.
God bless America.
God bless America, man. I mean, wow.
Right.
I mean, God bless you, Hefner. God bless America. Yes. So that's phenomenal.
I have to thank him for many happy hours.
Yes, I have I have some news info. I've been dealing directly with the campaign manager from Kim Gadano and Carlos Rendo. And it looks like they're going to come on the show October 12th.
Oh, good.
Okay.
That's nice.
Yes, Kim has been coming out strong. Yeah. And Carlos Rendo and I are...
Wait. What? Repeat that.
Kim has been coming out strong.
Strong?
Yes.
It's true.
She has.
Has she?
Yes. Yes.
I haven't seen her.
No, I have. I have.
Really?
She's
so
been
have
everywhere.
I. Yeah?
And also, Carlos Rendo listens to the show.
Remember, hey, Carlos.
Remember I talked about him like 4 weeks ago, and I said he was a great pick, Cuban immigrant, blah, blah, blah. He sent me an email basically giving us accolades and going over point for point everything we went over
show. Wait. Carlos listens to the show
Carlos
and he wants
Rendo.
To come on anyway?
Yes. Yes. Now, of course, her people, which
guy.
Are typical campaign managers, they're concerned about her coming on the show.
It's a surprise.
So I had to email them and I had to say his name is Ricky. I said, listen, I'm not bringing her on to beat her up. We can't have Phil Murphy become the effing governor. Get her and him on the show.
Right.
Let people hear what's going on. Let's talk about this. Don't be afraid of us, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Keith Kazmark, running for a Democrat congressional seat, came on the show.
Right.
I mean, that was 3 weeks ago, Scott, by the way. Mayor Kazmark came on. He might be running against Rodney Frelinghuysen. So he's in an exploratory committee right now.
Rodney Frelinghuysen, isn't that like John J. Jingleheimer Schmidt?
Schmidt, yes. So you guys, I wanted you guys on the show because two reasons. I want to have a talk about SafeCon. Maybe next week we're going to do a man on the street thing because I recorded a bunch of files for SafeCon. You got them?
You did, yeah.
Okay. I don't know when
you recorded them.
Were they okay?
You didn't wear your headphones, did you?
Oh, anyway, so we're not going to have any man on the street.
Was there tape in that? But in that microphone?
Let's get some housekeeping out of the way. So John Galliano is Gun for Hire alumni for a long time. He was also crazy enough, him and his sister, to run the Spartan Beast with us 2 years ago. He was on Team Gun for Hire, No Shame. And he's taken a bunch of classes at Gun for Hire. You just did the 1,100-yard shoot. How was that?
Well, great weekend. Great weekend.
Too much math. But anyway, I'm glad that you enjoyed that.
I live with
that.
Math. I'm a surveyor.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to talk about.
There it is. Okay.
So your business is Galliano Harrison Associates. Where are you located out of?
We're in North Haldon, New Jersey.
And you handle all New Jersey? Or
just northern New Jersey.
Northern Jersey.
Try to stay close.
Surveying.
Yeah. Yes.
So the reason I wanted John on was because SafeCon was a huge success. I think we hit about 500 people. We should have had 50,000. John Willett rocked it. And we had vendors there. And I'm going to be bringing on for the next few months a few of the non-gun vendors to tell other people why the hell didn't you participate. So, John, you had a table there. Nice flow, nice crowd. What did you think overall?
There's a great crowd. I'm just happy to support the Second Amendment. And
touché.
I met a lot of good people. A lot of people thanked me for supporting, the conference and everything. So it was a good day. They're very well organized. Nothing. I can't say anything bad about it.
This is what I see. Like, those 500 people talk to other people, and surveying is going to come up in a discussion, and you're going to go, they're going to go, there was a guy at SafeCon, a gun guy at SafeCon.
That's right.
Boom, Galliano. Yep. And you're going to end up
getting
the
guy
work.
Who surveys with iron sights, right?
Iron sights, yes. So I think
it's a good slogan.
You know, there was a bunch of
small yards.
Yes. There was a bunch of non-gun-related vendors there. And the conferences were phenomenal. I spoke in two panels. Scott spoke. Darren spoke. So leading into that, let's talk a little bit about your experience with the show. Did you get to watch any of the
No, I was outside.
You had to work the booth.
Yeah,
next time you need to bring a plebe.
I know. I do. Next time.
Work the booth while I go watch what's going on.
You live, you learn.
So you could be on the show and get berated by me, too, if
that's
you spend
nice.
A few hundred dollars and buy a table at the next SafeCon.
How'd I get so lucky,
huh?
It was, you know, the NRA had a booth, CNJFO had a booth, and there was Sandy Rita from Geiger Brothers, Laszlo from Monster Coatings, Purely Water was there, Carlos the Cigar Guy was there, he had great deals on cigars. It was just, he gave me one on the way out, which didn't suck. Overall, it was a phenomenal show. Sandy missed it because he's a big biatch, but the show was in a great location, the Princeton Marriott, easy to get to, and Knappen spoke, of course. Dan Schmutter spoke about 2A cases in the pipeline and the ramifications, so it was really good, and we needed that. And Scott, Kim Gadano almost made it to the show.
She wanted to be there, but she had a scheduling conflict, and actually she had a statement written just for the conference, which I read.
See, this is what we need. We need to awaken the sleeping giant. Also, I made fun of FUDs during the conference.
No, it's
about
unusual.
Not being active and everything. So, Scott, what's going on with the
election?
Well,
we can't go, Scott. Oh. So we've only got about 10 seconds left.
John, what's the website of your company? Let's plug
it. It's GallianoHarris.com.
GallianoHarris.com. Haha, I got the last word. Boof.
Tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing. Which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
And this segment is brought to you by Liberty Office Suites, libertyofficesuites.com. Ron Seuss has two locations, one on New Road in Parsippany and one on Change Bridge Road in Montville. He also has a meeting room, holds up to 70 people for as little as $58 a month. You can have a professional environment, libertyofficesuites.com. John, do you have an office or you work out of your van?
We have an office.
You have an office. So see, but see, if you were just starting out, you know, Liberty Office Suites would be perfect for you.
Yeah, sure.
Because you can meet your clients there and everything. And one more shameless plug, GallianoHarris.com. It's beautiful. So now let's talk about the election. And we have Darren, Scott, and John here. I want everybody to chime in how it's going to affect them. Scott, want to lead off a little bit
sure.
about what we should be doing, what's going
okay,
on?
Okay, first, for anybody that doesn't know, Phil Murphy represents an existential threat to the entire outdoor community. You know, I know we've talked about this. Just go on his website and see everything he wants to do. He wants to undo everything Christie has done. He wants to tax gun ownership. He wants to trigger the smart gun law. He wants to mandate training just to own firearms, not to carry, to own. You know, he will change the Fish and Game Council. You know, he'll end the bear hunt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Guadagno has been... You know, a lot of gun owners have been confused about her, but that confusion should be over now that she has an A rating from ANJRPC and from NRA.
Quite frankly, if she had a D rating, she'd be better than Phil Murphy.
Yes,
but
right.
the fact that she
right.
has an A rating
yeah, right.
is all we need to know.
Look, here's the bottom line. This is a very, my take on this is a very low energy election right now. And that means probably low turnout. And that means, once again, gun owners can make the key difference in the election.
From your mouth to God's ears.
You know, my analysis is there's estimated to be a million of us, hunters, gun owners, hunters, sportsmen in the state. If every one of us comes out and does our job, we win. If every one of us comes out and brings our friends and family, we win big. We have the numbers. It's about math. It's about who's going to get more people to the polls on election day. And we better wake up in the next few weeks, because if we don't, we're going to reap the whirlwind, you know, with this guy. So I know Darren probably has something he wants to say about this. So
we're here for the whole show. This is important because I'm not going to be here for the 20th and 28th show. We're going to do a previous taping because I'm going to be in Italy. So right before the election. So we want to get it all out this show and the next two shows while we still have Kim around and you guys. So go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, Scott, I think you hit the nail on the head with this being probably, not probably, definitely is the most important election that we're going to face. I mean, the litany of things that he's proposing are downright scary. And I think in terms of the lieutenant governor, there's never been a question in my mind where she's been at on the issue as a former sheriff, someone who carries, someone who is a gun owner. I think that her bona fides are very strong. I think that when someone doesn't come out and they don't beat the drum, they get a lot of the harsh Facebook critics of, well, really, how good is she? You know, and I think that a lot of those folks don't realize that there's strategy involved in campaigns.
Mm.
And in New Jersey, it's not a winning strategy to make the Second Amendment your number one issue. And yeah. I think she's running a smart campaign in that respect. But now that the community is getting to know her and she's opening up to the 2A community, I think that they're all becoming comfortable and they have the comfort level that I've had for years in talking to her. I run into her at fundraisers all the time in various legislative districts. And I've had multiple conversations with her on many, many gun issues, and I've always been completely satisfied that she's nothing more than an A candidate, so and deserves endorsement. But now we're getting into that part of the home stretch where we really need to gin up the enthusiasm level. We have the candidates. The primaries are over. There's one person to get behind right now. If you're a gun owner, it's Kim Guadagno. I mean, we have to get behind her. And not only just the gun owners turning out to vote, and we need all of them to turn out to vote, and if all of them turn out, that makes a difference. But think about it. Go next door and convince your neighbor that your taxes are going to triple and quadruple. And even if they don't really care about guns, there is plenty of stuff out there that they should care about, whether that's universal health care, these millionaire taxes. And this is something that's going to go off the gun issue, but I think that this should scare people. And just as an example of how off his rocker he is. You know, they're proposing the millionaire's tax, and I was just at a fundraiser Friday night, and one of the elected state senators brought up a New York Times article where they talked about 240 millionaires that were in this state and that they were going to tax them. And that sounds like a great idea because someone else is footing the bill, right? We can just make the millionaires pay for it. But now there are only 20,000 millionaires that live in the state because 220,000 of them have left the state.
Yep.
And they said one guy that left, he took $400 million in tax money with him.
From right. Summit.
One guy. Yes. One guy left. $400 million. So this guy, I mean, it's expensive to live in New Jersey. So not only are you not going to be able to have your guns, but you're going to be poor on top of it.
John,
so.
We're going to be like Venezuela. We're going to be eating zoo animals. That's what they're doing. They broke into the zoo, the paupers, and stole the animals out of the zoo to eat, John.
Wow. I mean, I know something from my profession. We do a lot of surveys for closings, when, you know, transactions of real estate. And, when we do the survey, the sellers are usually there. I knock on the door and say, oh, how's it going? You know, and I always ask them, it comes up in a conversation, where are you going? And everybody that's at the retirement age, everybody is out of here, out of New Jersey.
Isn't it a shame?
Everybody.
You know?
There's not, it's probably up in the 90%.
Ainsley Reynolds is a CPA, and he's going to kick your ass, by the way, Sandy. He told me at the SafeCon. But he said, as a CPA in New Jersey, it's his fiduciary responsibility to tell any client there's two golden rules. You don't die in New Jersey, and you don't retire in New Jersey.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay? So you see it, John. Everybody's
My sister moved out last, the one who ran the race with us. Yeah. She just moved to PA.
See what I mean? This is what's happening.
And my parents are going, too, next, probably, maybe.
Where are they going?
Near my sister.
Following your sister?
Yeah.
Well, I know where you'll be going soon.
I got the business here. My wife's here.
I
Sandy knows. Right? Where the wife wants to stay.
Yeah, it's great.
you know, Anthony, I just want to say there, you know, a lot of gun owners think that NRA and ANJRPC, that we just have a magic wand that we can wave to win the election. And what I want to say is gun owners are the magic wand. It's not us. Our strength is you. It's the listeners.
It's
the people.
How do you motivate these people to get out and go? Scott, you know the gun owners in this state. They're a bunch of toads.
I don't agree with that. And by the way, the hunting community has a lot to lose with Murphy, and they know it. So that previous analysis doesn't apply. But my point here is, it's not somebody else's responsibility to win this election. It's all of our responsibility to do it. That means you, the person listening who thinks, oh, I'll do my part. You need to do more. All of us need to do more. It's not just enough for you to vote. You've got to bring your friends. You've got to bring your family. You know, you've got to influence everybody in your sphere to come out and do this. Because if we don't, you know, it's going to be a nightmare, and not just for gun owners. I mean, it's for everybody, but the burden's on us.
And one other thing I was going to say, too, is, you know, one of the strategies, and we saw it in the last presidential election, I mean, I actually found a couple old newspapers in my office that were talking about Hillary pulling away. And these were as late as August, and how it was almost a done deal.
Right.
You know, and I think if the last election taught us anything, it's that they can talk about how far ahead Murphy is in the polls. Don't get discouraged. Don't believe that nonsense.
And don't hand it to him.
Yeah.
Make him earn it. Make him work.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
With the news, events, and political shenanigans impacting your freedom, you're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
And this segment is brought to you by Gunsitters, gunsitters.com, and their military division, Weapons Guard, located on Route 10 East in Whippany in the Pine Plaza. Check out gunsitters.com. They had a booth at the show. Eric posed some questions during the panels and everything, so gunsitters.com. John, you had a question about A rating?
I wanted to ask Mr. Bach, has there ever been an A-rated candidate rated by the NRA for New Jersey?
You mean for New Jersey governor?
For governor.
I'm going to defer to Darren, but no. I honestly, not that I'm aware of. In the time I've been doing this, I've never seen an A-rated candidate for governor.
Christie was an A, but for asshole, not for gun stuff.
Christie was great on our issue.
Yes,
so,
I agree.
And he did not receive an A. The first time he ran, he was a question mark versus Corzine as an F, and the second time he ran, I think with ANJRPC, he was, I think, in the B rating, and NRA was lower than that.
C, yeah.
So I don't think there's ever been an A. You know, I know prior to my involvement, things were really out of control. The Republicans were not with us back then.
I was talking to John earlier before you guys got here. You know what the Bloomberg types and the anti-gunners love the best, though? They love when the Second Amendment people attack each other.
Absolutely.
Right, Sandy? We had this discussion earlier this week or last
week.
It
falls right into the handbook of separate and conquer.
Divide and conquer, yeah. Right? And a lot of you know that. John and I just talked about that, too. We just had that last week. Miraculously, or coincidentally, the day before SafeCon, of course, all of the state's ills are because of the ANJRPC and the NRA, and somehow I was behind the curtain as well, and I kind of take that personally, and I try to model myself a little bit like Trump. I don't punch, I counterpunch back, so I'm a little pissed off because it diverted some of the narrative at SafeCon, which John Willett broke his ass, you know, to get it set up and everything. And then, of course, it cast the suspicion of doubt that there's conspiracies in the state and no one's doing anything. In my opinion, just because you bark the loudest doesn't mean you have the biggest effing bite, okay? And that really pissed me off that happened. And the buzz at all of SafeCon and the buzz online, except for a couple of dissenters, is it really backfired. But it shows the other side, and yes, morons, the other side looks at our social media and their friends, yeah, and follow our social media.
Right,
we don't live in a bubble, because right. I spend more time on the Brady campaign website than the NRA website, because
absolutely.
I'm smart.
Democracy,
okay?
For America, the,
yes,
Brady campaign.
Correct.
That's where
I
you need to
see
be.
What's going,
sure,
on with the other side, what their narrative is and what they're focused,
right,
on. And, you know, 6 weeks before the election is not the time to show that we're infantile and we're attacking each other.
Because they believe that already.
Correct. And, you know, you ask for somebody's, you go in without getting help. And I know the owners of the developers of the range that was trying to open in Ramsey, and they consulted with me. And they were trying to get it in under the wire, and the Al Sharpton of the Second Amendment movement in New Jersey went up there like a bull in a china shop and disrupted and made it a personal thing and blew everything up, and they didn't ask for his help. And I spoke to a few of them, and they feel that it hurt their cause more than it helped their cause. And what they did was a car dealership came along and offered them a 15-year lease on the $6 million building that they bought. And they figured rather than get into a 2 or 3 year legal battle personal with the town because of inflammatory statements made by Napoleon, what happened is that they pulled it. And they're moving on, all right? They could have done it like Wayne. They could have done it like Sea Caucus. They could have done it like Woodland Park. They could have been friendly and gone in under the wire and do it. And Scott had made a point that I didn't think of at SafeCon, that when you're in the middle of a battle and you're dealing with a segment of anti-gun people, right? The last thing you want to do is have the NRA walk in, because now Absolutely. It becomes the NRA yeah, is right. opening a range right.
just,
in
it
Ramsey.
Gives,
it polarizes.
It's exactly what they want, because the NRA is a household name. And if you can drag a household name in, that's our opponent, and they've been bastardized, been bad guys all this time. So if you drag them into a local thing, everybody in the town's going to be against it.
And this was just like the recall Sweeney thing. And I'm going to tell you something. I was in the forefront of NJ2S. I was on a board member with Frank Fiammingo. We supported them on the radio. We supported them on the cause. 90% of the people that showed up for Recall Sweeney were because of Gun for Hire Radio, all right? And because I asked everybody when I was down there the first day with signatures and everything. What happens is you don't want other two-way groups help because you want all the glory. And then when you lose, you turn it around. It's everybody else's fault because they didn't jump in and help you. Well, tough shit. Sack up and grow a set. Either you're going to want to do it all on your own or you're going to want to do it as a group. But now the bridge is burned as far as I'm concerned. All right. And I have other stuff to add, but I want you guys to chime in. John, you right away, you were turned off by that email when you saw it, right?
During it's an election coming up, I think everyone should be, we all have the same goal here. Everyone should be unified.
I don't think, and again, we're speaking to a national audience, so a lot of people have no idea what the hell we're even talking about. Does anybody want to broach the subject?
Go ahead. I'm too pissed right now.
I'll say after listening to Anthony, like, damn, bro. He gave it to him good. No. Here's the deal, Sandy. We've been getting these little attacks for a year or two. You know what? Scott and I, we're too busy doing what
working.
We're doing. We're too busy working on legislation, talking about amendments, meeting with candidates, going to fundraisers, educating them on Second Amendment issues when they call on a questionnaire and they don't get it.
Fighting
getting
in Trenton.
People's grades, going down to Trenton. You know what? So I know what we do. And so when you go on Facebook and you see these guys, the NRA doesn't do anything, like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? You know, get out of your mom's basement because there's shit going on, you know?
You don't publicize battle plans ahead of time.
No. And you know what? And I'm not even going to use that because, you know, they sort of mock that.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing top secret stuff. I'm flat out telling you what we're doing and what they're not doing. And, you know, the people that go on the Facebook and they complain, and like I said, they don't leave their mom's basement. Listen, I've walked districts. I've gone to Trenton, testified in committee. There have been multiple times when Scott and I have sat in the room, and we've been the only two, and they're all Moms Demand Action people. And then when we came on this program and complained about it, the next time, two more showed up on our side.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah, one time.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So when they're talking about, I can tell you what we're doing. We're doing a hell of a lot. And NRA is completely got the backing at the highest levels with our executives. In fact, they've devoted putting CFRs, which are campaign volunteers, to come up here and specifically work on this election. They're going around to county fairs. Christian goes around. He takes a notepad. He fills it up with volunteers of gun owners who are out there doing stuff. Sandy, this is my message. They're doing stuff. And these guys go on Facebook and say, their NRA isn't doing anything. How the hell would they know? They haven't left the basement. Right, you know, right. They're on Facebook
they
bitching.
They haven't taken their head up from Facebook and posting things. And that's what I was getting to before, Scott. I think one of the biggest problems we have with a lot of these so-called gun owners in New Jersey, number one, is they've been inculcated with this anti-gun mentality from birth. Those of us who grew up in the New York metropolitan area, if we step outside to Pennsylvania, to Virginia, to the South, anywhere in free America, there's a little part of us that is astonished at the freedom that other people have. You sit at you walk into a gun show or you walk into a gun store, and you watch someone walk up to the counter, purchase a firearm, and walk out the door, and you're like, damn!
Sandy, I mean, there's not a better person to talk about this than me.
I grew
up in South Dakota. I mean, I've talked about this on I've talked about this on this program multiple times. In fact, you know, every fall when this stuff gets over, one of the first thing I do is run home to do a little hunting. And you go in the gas stations, guns loaded in your vehicles.
You're not looking over your shoulder.
No. In fact, half the time the local sheriff will come up, hey, you boys having any luck? You know, I mean, it's totally not a completely different culture.
When we come back, I got a quick story on that.
Boom.
Time and memories, the two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices, no interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
They said it wouldn't last. That was just wishful thinking. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 7 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by County Line Firearms. CountyLineFirearmsNJ.com. CountyLineFirearmsNJ.com on Route 10 East in East Hanover. Cross street from the Best Buy, stop by and see Carlos. Scott, before you add something else pissed me off. When the hit piece came out by the other two-way organization, it implied that I might have done something or other ranges preventing that range from opening, right? 2 minutes after that email came out, I got a phone call from the two principals from another large gun range north of me, pissed off because it makes it seem like we all plotted to close that range down, which was 30 miles from me, 50 miles from them. Doesn't really pose a problem, but they were pissed off too. So now you're causing divisiveness in all the ranges. Now, I'm not like other range owners. I communicate with all of the range owners. And I can tell you a story.
Yeah.
I stopped funding the other Second Amendment organization because he came in one day. I got complaints from my receptionist because there was asking them to go out on dates and stuff. Walter Haas was here. I had to intervene and stop it. And then the second thing that happens is he asked me to commit for $20,000 a year as a platinum sponsor because the other large range in New Jersey committed for $20,000 a year. I said I'd have to think about it. After he left, I called the other range. $2,000 a year they committed to donate. So since then, you know what I donate? Nothing. You know what I'll donate in the future? Nothing. Go ahead, Scott.
Let's tell us how you really feel, though.
I'm not taking any shit, okay? I don't have to be politically correct. I'm not a board member. I don't work for the NRA. F me, F you, okay? If you were on fire, I wouldn't piss on you. Go ahead, Scott.
I think maybe I should just not add to that.
I wouldn't add.
Can we switch seats?
I'll let you guys go off now.
How about that Hefner death, huh? Wow, that was something.
Let me just say what we're talking about here is not Second Amendment activism. What it is Second Amendment agitation.
Second Amendment agitation.
And agitation doesn't get you where you want to go. Because if you're going in there to make a fuss and a stink because you want headlines and you're not focused on the outcome, you're not helping. You're agitating. And you see where that led with the Ramsey range? I mean, the first thing we did when we heard about Ramsey is reached out for the owners. Okay? And because you don't want to do any harm when there's a private discussion between a developer
and
a town,
happening.
You don't want to inject yourself in the middle, certainly without at least finding out if the owners want your involvement. Okay, and then when they came in guns blazing, they poison the atmosphere of discussion and polarize the community, making it impossible. If you're a developer, you have millions of dollars in a property. Do you want to wait 3 or 4 or 5 years to find out if you're going to win a case that by the way, the agitator has spilled what the legal strategy is, so the town can now pause everything and bolster their ordinance.
Right.
It's an anatomy of a failure.
And here, John owns a surveying business. He's educated. He's a professional. He saw the email. He read right through it. For these people out there, you have to understand, the only people that are siding with you on social media are your followers whose IQ is below room temperature. Anybody whose IQ is above room temperature can see right through this shit. Way, took my ball. That's what it sounds like, okay? You look childish and infantile by doing shit like this. Okay, Scott, well, I'm going to shut up.
The only other thing I want to point out is, the notion that NRA and ANJRPC have abandoned ranges is absurd. In fact, I think most of us will recall that less than a year ago, there was the worst attack on gun ranges in New Jersey history.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, that would have threatened the existence of range. Guess who was down in Trenton? Guess who was working behind the scenes? Yes, behind the scenes, and I'm not afraid to say it. Okay, and guess who got the thing pulled? Okay, NRA and ANJRPC did. Guess who wasn't there? Guess who was telling their followers, don't go to Trenton, it doesn't make a difference, okay? And we're the ones being accused of not acting in the best interest of ranges. Where were they?
Oh, well, he was powdering his bruises after the Bonnie Watson Coleman town hall.
See, that's the other problem. That shock jock stuff doesn't work because legislators won't see you or talk to you.
They're
all afraid of hidden camera moments.
And they expect that. They expect a radical. You have to give them something that's different. Scott, do you remember when we've had this discussion before about bringing specific cases to the Supreme Court, and you and Knappen and Schmutter have all said the same thing. You don't want Jacobian Myers lawyers bringing this kind of thing.
No, you want Alan Gura.
Right.
Exactly.
Listen, but they may have had the best lawyers in the world lined up in this particular case. I don't know. But what I do know is you don't tell somebody in advance
you're
going to sue them
and
why they're going to win, because the town did exactly what any rational entity would do faced with that. Let's get a law firm to look at it and see if we can bolster our ordinance so it survives. But look, just the big picture here is agitation is not what we want. It's not what we need. I can tell you, at the first SafeCon, I sat back in the speaker's room speaking to a certain person, who I'm not going to name, who actually said to me, we got to get an email alert out. We have to look like we're doing something. And I sat there with my mouth open and I said to this person, no, we have to actually do something, not look like we're doing something.
Right.
It's never about headlines.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Okay. And when you put your organization or your reputation first, okay, and you agitate for the sake of agitating, this is what you get. And enough said about it. I mean, I think there's enough out there for people to make up their own minds. But, the suggestions that Anthony, you have a range that opened that just got approved 3 miles from your place in Wayne, New Jersey.
And I'll reach out to them work with them.
How many ranges have opened in the last 5 years throughout the state of New Jersey and throughout northern New Jersey? And guess what? They all opened the right way.
Under the radar.
Under the radar.
Right.
No agitation.
Right.
Nobody coming in, throwing bombs, talking about how we're going to sue the pants off the world.
I mean, but what is it? Why do you have to be under the radar? I mean, it's just a business opened up in a commercial
right.
zone with no
That's
variances.
Right.
And they went to the meeting, and it was, you know, they approved.
But when you're posting social media pictures of women, no range in Ramsey, and your commentary is, look at the protesters, they should be home cooking or something, that is not putting your best foot forward, John. That is good. People are going to dig in and now personalize it and hate you. And what Scott said at SafeCon was, again, if the NRA shows up, now nobody even knows the name of the range owner or the name of the range. The NRA
right.
is trying to open a range
it's
in our town.
The poor developers, like you said, you know, they have all their money up front. Now
Correct.
They're in the back seat.
Correct.
And, well, they're used as a tool.
Correct.
Okay.
And on the flip side, Scott started with this, and I'll finish it, but he talked about the proper way to deal with these range issues, like last January when we had those two Caputo bills. We dealt with them on the side, privately,
mm-hmm.
expressed our concerns, and got the thing scuttled, which allowed them to save face, right?
Right.
And let's not forget, right. and this segues into something Anthony said about most people having figured out that all the bluster on the from our frenemies, most people have figured that out, because on that range issue, we had our members send 3,500 emails to each member, and there are 10 members on the committee, for a total of 35,000 emails. And literally, we literally shut down the state email system, and that's what hammered home the point. So, listen, I want to have a little bit of a positive spin on this show, because it's been a little bit of Debbie Downer, but I mean...
That must be a South Dakota term.
I was very encouraged by the SAFE conference, because there was an overwhelming positive reaction. People came up to me and they said, shake it off, nobody listens to these guys.
That's all I heard all
and
day.
I mean, everybody said that, and you know what? I'm telling you, our members, they're engaged. And the example of that January range issue where 3,500 people sent emails, it just proves that most of the bluster that we're hearing from these guys, it's hot air. It's 40 guys on Facebook and in their mom's basement.
Right.
I mean, it really
right.
is.
It's always a minority that makes a very big noise. I wish if we had, you know, I'm a member of Central Jersey. And if everybody at Central Jersey was an NRA member, which they're not, there was a movement at one time to make sure that in order to join a range that you were an NRA member. And it was a big stink about it, and I can't understand why. But I think the big issue is New Jersey gun owner apathy, almost. But, you know, we've talked about the closet gun owners here in Jersey, and there just seems to be this general malaise amongst gun owners in New Jersey, or just an apathy. I'm not sure what the hell
it is.
Well,
I mean, part of that, and I think Scott touched on this a little bit earlier, is the whole attitude is, oh, the NRA will come in and save the day.
Yeah,
I don't have to
right.
do jack squat.
Mommy and
right?
daddy will fight my battle
yeah.
for me.
Well, the NRA is our members.
Right.
And so
right.
those members
right.
have to do something for us to have our clout. And again, and I've said this over and over, you know, I've lived in six states, and the difference here versus a lot of other places is you go knock on your neighbor's door, they're anti-gun. You go to the guy next to him, he's anti-gun.
Right.
You might find two people in
right.
a three-block radius that have firearms. Whereas in South Dakota, hey, my shotgun
right.
needs some work. Can I borrow yours? Sure, here you
yeah.
go.
Right.
I mean,
right.
it's
right.
completely different.
Yeah.
And so we got to elect pro-gun politicians to even have a shot. And we've been talking a lot on this show about the governor's race. Let's not forget the legislative assembly races
All
and,
up for
and
election.
The Senate races. There's a lot at stake. And you know what? Last time we lost a couple more seats. We got to stop the bleeding and start to turn it around. And there's an opportunity to start to claw back. You know, I think there's seven or eight of these Senate districts that Trump actually won last time that have Democrats.
That's why I don't believe the polls.
There's some stuff that's in play, but it's going to be tough because some of our Republican candidates are in close districts because this state has been so gerrymandered
mm-hmm.
and the deck is so stacked against getting a pro-gun majority that it's an uphill battle. But you know what? we've got to just stay determined and fight the fight. And, I mean, if there's one message that came out of last year's presidential race, it's like, don't give up. There were people on Election Day that thought Hillary had it in the bank. There were people at 10 o'clock at night that were just starting to realize that it was winnable. And you know what? This election, this governor's race here is the same thing. Get out and vote and take five or six of your best friends.
You're the best.
You know, as it turns out, one out of every three of us is caring for an aging parent. And if you're one of us, I don't have to tell you how difficult that can be. And until now, good sound advice that you could really trust was few and far between. The show is called Parents Are Hard to Raise, and every week it's jam-packed with expert advice and some pretty cool tips and tricks that'll help you and your parents grow older together without losing your minds. It's free expert elder care advice with a Jersey attitude. The show is hosted by my wife, Diane Berardi, who's been a practicing gerontologist for over three decades. So the insight's real, and the advice you get is battle-tested and ready to go. And it's often a little edgy. Parents Are Hard to Raise. Available on iTunes, Google Play, and on demand at iHeartRadio or at parentsarehardtoraise.org. And now, with great sadness, back to the show.
Two emails I want to read. One is from Jules. He wrote, since reaching voting age, I have a standing practice of not talking to people I don't know. Why? Because there's a better than 50-50 chance once I get to know them, especially their politics, I'm going to wind up in an argument. So why take a chance? The aforementioned notwithstanding, as we are well into the fourth year of Gun for Hire range, I have yet to have an argument with anyone I have met at the range. The reason for that is because, from what I can tell, the patrons of the range are, whether they realize it or not, individual libertarians. An individual libertarian is someone who believes in personal freedom without infringing on another's personal freedom. And the day after the third SafeCon, I have come to learn that Gun for Hire is not the only safe space for those who seek to interact with individual libertarians. Proponents of the Second Amendment understand the doctrine of individual liberty. My advice to all is make a friend at Gun for Hire and the next SafeCon. And if we are going to spread the notion of personal liberty created by our founding fathers, bring a friend to Gun for Hire and the next SafeCon. Always, Jules. This is another one. This is one that really ticked me. It's from Richard Wolf. He wrote, hi, Anthony. It was great to see you at SafeCon. Lively conversation and was good to hear your thoughts in the various sessions. I was pleased to hear that Kim Gadano and others will be on the radio show in the next couple of weeks. I had wanted to ask a question, but the Ramsey issue got in the way. Of course, because Napoleon had a... put that email out the day before the SafeCon, so that, I'm not there, but I'm going to be create all the controversy. Please feel free to use this as you feel fit, and I hope to ask at the conference last weekend. Well, Rich, next time you stop at the range, come and ask me any questions you want. That was Winston, by the way. He's a little sick. He's under the table in the studio. He just shook, and his leash clicked a little bit. John, would you be a sponsor next year at SafeCon?
Yes.
See what I mean? This is what it's all about. Everybody listening, see, you'd be getting all of these free plugs. Tell us your business again, the website.
GallianoHarris.com.
Where are you located?
North Haldon.
So we have that. We have them in our clutches. If you need a surveyor, we had so many other vendors there. I mean, Mike Candido is a mechanical contractor, and he sponsored, and there was a banner hanging up for his business for Jay Moore, which is located in the Caldwell area. This is what we need, Darren. Like, and you talked before about gerrymandering. You know, Christie picked the people last time that did the redistricting, right? And it's a bunch of bullshit. But I'll tell you what, if you look at the election that just happened and Judge Roy Moore, who took a gun out of his vest pocket and showed it to the audience, he won in spite. What happened was with that election is Trumpism prevailed, not Donald Trump. I think we're going to see a big flip in the election in 18. And again, I don't believe the polls, and I think the Trump train is full speed ahead. And again, Kim Gadano, you read all these articles. Even The Ledger had an article that said she's not 23 points behind. She's only 9 points behind. Scott, you had made a statement about Murphy that he is so hubris and so confident he's going to win that 2 months before the election, he's saying he's going to raise taxes. What, $1.3 billion?
Billions.
Talk about the he's like, I'm going to raise everything: state bank, free college, free school, free this.
Because you want to put meters in the car for the to track every mile, and you're going to get taxed per mile. As soon as you leave the driveway.
Did you hear that? Meters in your car to tax your mileage.
like I can't get out of this state any faster than I am. Right.
The thing is, he thinks he's already governor. Okay, he thinks he has nothing
Correct.
To lose. His handlers must have freaked out. You know, because he got very quiet for a little while after he made those statements.
We have to be honest here. The guy does the first time he's ever seen New Jersey is when he decided to run for governor of New Jersey.
He's from Massachusetts.
He's a Massachusetts carpetbagger who is a multi-billionaire fund manager who's never ever had a decent job in his whole life. Doesn't know what it's like to make anything other than moving paper from one side of a desk to another side of a desk of a trading desk.
He's never signed the front of a check in his life. He's only signed the back of a check.
He's like Bloomberg and Corzine rolled into one person.
Right, exactly. Except for Bloomberg actually built something where Corzine just stole money from people.
Now, John, do you see people that you deal with in the non-gun realm? How do they feel about Murphy? What have you been hearing? Have you?
I think it's mostly taxes, like you've been saying, is that, you know, that's really the issue.
I think
how
it's
much, how much more can we be taxed in New Jersey? Property tax? I mean,
it's ridiculous. For those of you in the rest of the country, okay, I have a very modest house, and my home taxes are $28,000 a year.
Okay, I'm going to hit you up. I live a mile from the range. I have a condo. My taxes are $16,000 a year, and my HOA fees are $500 a month.
Welcome to the club.
Okay.
Welcome to the Garden State.
All right. That's New Jersey. Now, I pay for that convenience because I'm one traffic light from my business that I'm here 100 hours a week, 7 days a week, so I can pay taxes.
Why do we live here again?
Because I like malls and diners.
Right. I don't give a shit about malls and diners anymore.
Oh, that's right. I have Amazon now, but I still like diners, right, John?
Who cares?
Yeah, you got it.
Where your sister lives, there's no 24-hour diner, right?
No.
No, you got to eat gas station
what's
sushi
a diner?
Right. Where she lives. Right.
I am so free. Look, I am in bed by 9:30 at night now, so it really doesn't matter. I don't need to be at the TikTok diner at 3 o'clock in the morning. I will build my own freaking diner with the savings of the town.
I'd like to plug South Dakota truck stops as an alternative.
But not the sushi, right?
Not really. No.
Slim Jim's.
Yeah.
The hot dog that's
landlocked.
Been on a roller for 12 weeks.
It's a Scott company or whatever.
They count revolutions before they take it off the counter.
It's aging. It's not cooking. It's aging.
You smother it in gravy, it's fine. You put it on a biscuit, smother it in gravy, it's good.
We're Scott,
good.
How many swing voters do we have in the state? The independents, about a million, they say, right?
You know,
that's what Christie won on 2 terms.
You know, different people have different views about that. And in the end, it doesn't matter. What matters is getting the message out and convincing people. There are, I have to say, there's a segment of the population that doesn't want to vote for Kim because they're angry at Christie. And that is not the reason not to vote for Kim. She is not Governor Christie. She is with us. Now,
Governor Christie doesn't want to vote for Kim Giordano.
He won't give her his campaign contribution list.
So that's a good reason to vote for her.
They're different people. They agree on the Second Amendment, but they're different people. And if we get Murphy in, we're going to reap the whirlwind.
I think, you know, one of the things that I see, I have a lot of connections in the upper, in the inner sanctum of the New Jersey Democrat Party. And
I think the word sanctum is probably the wrong word. Else with a U-M, but...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of that,
It ain't sanctified,
that's for sure.
Right.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, everybody listening, you should be talking to your friends and family in New Jersey and talking about the tax issues. What John just brought up about putting a meter in our car, taxing us on our mileage. Phil Murphy wants to create a state bank like Venezuela.
Right.
Okay. I mean, he's going to give free college tuition for county colleges. I don't know, but the last time I looked it up, free doesn't really mean free. Someone's going to pay for it. Loretta Weinberg has 20 or 30 anti-gun bills all queued up waiting for Phil Murphy to be elected. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Trenton if Murphy right. gets elected, and it's going to be for naught because, like Darren said, if we don't win back some of the House and Senate, Michael Patrick Carroll, one of our assemblymen, he just posted a thing. New Jersey is ranked number one worst finances in the state,
right.
and Murphy right. is going to tax us into prosperity.
And New Jersey is also the most moved out of state for the past 6 years. Now,
John said that
one of the things that the Democrats, we're not going to do this by ourselves. This Democrats got Trump into the White House. End of statement. That's just the way it is. More Democrats I know who voted for
Trump. Tired of the status quo.
Yes. And it's the working class Democrat who voted Trump in. It's just that simple. In New Jersey, there is a huge working class Democrat constituency who is very angry, and I'll put it in their words, to the heir apparent
correct. But
governor.
Here's the problem. The police unions, the teachers, they already endorsed Phil Murphy. Why?
Of course.
Because the
they
Democrats have
that.
Created a methadone yes. narcotic effect. What they do is they coddle the civil servants, they
right.
coddle the unions with a lot of money to get their votes while our infrastructure crumbles.
Well,
let's face it. High school principals, middle school principals make $250,000 a year in the state of New Jersey. Okay?
Right.
Seriously.
And what about...
Seriously.
You know what? Here's what's going on now. It's going to really make your blood boil. Murphy's campaign is paying cops and firemen, as long as they come in uniform to his rallies, $600 a day.
What, like for security?
No.
Oh.
No, to show up en masse. Oh, look at all the police officers here in our, you know.
I haven't met a policeman yet who likes Murphy, but right. the unions are backing
the
him
unions
up.
The unions have to back him up, and that's just the way it's always going to work in this state.
But New Jersey will become another crap hole as if Phil Murphy comes in. He's going to tax
another
us. Everybody with money is going to move out.
Right.
Like Sandy always says, people choose free shit over freedom.
Right.
Unfortunately, in New Jersey, we have a lot of takers and not that many makers anymore.
No.
It's hanging on
and
by a
thread.
It's
less and less and less of us. We are all of us who run businesses. Look, I shut down a business and moved the business that had 1,600 employees out of the state of New Jersey 10 years ago. And I did that for a reason, because we were getting bludgeoned. So now other states have those employees, but New Jersey doesn't. And I absolutely, positively will never hire another employee in the state of New Jersey.
See what I mean? Everybody comes up with workarounds.
Right.
You have to come up with workarounds because of what we're dealing with.
Right.
John, you see it. You see the tax rate that we pay in our business. You pay taxes on your rent or your mortgage of your facility, and then your house, and then our gas tax and this and that. He wants to raise the gas tax, like, what, $1 a gallon
or
something?
Yeah, why not?
Wow,
right?
It doesn't end. It's unbelievable.
No, we're royally screwed if we don't awaken the sleeping giant. And I think we have to make it about taxes. Darren, we're running out of time. You haven't spoken in a while. Chime in.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the gun issue is something we care about, but this guy is bad on multiple levels. I mean, they're talking about Amazon potentially moving here with 5,000 jobs. But think about it. Why would you move to New Jersey?
Not going to happen.
Why not Atlanta?
Because, first of all, how are you going to recruit workers when, you know, if you're in Texas, Florida, South Dakota, no sales tax.
South Dakota.
You know? Yeah. Or no state income tax.
So the low property taxes here will bring people in.
Diners. You know, the diners.
I mean, basically what I'm saying is the guy will ruin the state on multiple levels.
We're on the precipice. He'll push us right over. John, plug your business one more time.
GallianoHarris.com.
GallianoHarris.com. Where are you located?
North Hailden, New Jersey.
Support those who support us, ladies and gentlemen. October, we have all of our urban series going on. November, all our NRA instructor series, become a certified NRA instructor or a range safety officer. If you agree or disagree with all of my opinions and rants today, Anthony@gunforhire.com. Or I usually work from 2 in the afternoon till 10 at night, 7 days a week. Stop by and see me. We can talk face to face. Have a nice day.
Courses?
I said them already.
All right, you got them all?
Yeah.
Everything's taken
yeah.
care of? Guys, thank you all for coming in. It was probably one of the better shows we've had in quite a while. Very spirited. And South Dakota truck stops are looking very good. So I have to talk to you later. Because as long as they, you know, that hot dog with the smothered biscuit, that sounds good to me. All right, guys. Each one, reach one. Like we're saying here in New Jersey, it's a real difficult time out there. Please, guys in gun clubs, talk to your fellow members. Get them out. Educate them. That's all I got to say. Thanks for listening. Gunfire Radio is a Canathic Media production. The music used in this broadcast is managed by Cosmo Music LLC, New York, New York, and the License of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gunfire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Winston, you're here. You got to wake up and say goodbye to everybody. Winston. Atta boy, we love you. He's under the weather, but he's still doing his job.
Yes.
We love you guys. Get out and vote. Get people to vote. We'll see you again next week.